pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Number one U.S. Open can't make the finals. Roger Federer does, and Roger Federer plays Andy Murray today because of the rain that delayed it in the hurricane this weekend. Gee, wonder what's going to happen today.
Yeah, Murray, done.
Nighty night, Andy. But that's what's going on. You can email us anytime to the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. It is time for Monday with Merck and Morris. All kinds of football talk coming up. We'll touch on the high schools as well. But we start with the head football coach at the University of Nebraska at Kearney, Daryl Morris. Good morning, Coach.
Morning, guys. How are we today?
Well, we're doing good. And I guess we start with UNO. We knew what UNO had. UNO looks very good. But for a half, it was typical UNK, give them all they want. And I guess take me through the first half of this football game, what you guys did well to have it at 7-0, even though you didn't have very many possessions.
No, we played pretty solid on defense. I think the fact that it was UNO's first ball game, they were still trying to, you know, everybody get on the same page of the playbook. We got away with a couple things that maybe they made us pay for in the second half. But, you know, the kids played hard, played well. You know, I thought we had a touchdown there on the last play of the half. Film looks like it was a touchdown for us, but you know, I was pleased at halftime to still be in there going toe-to-toe with them, punch for punch, and thought that, you know, if we could just continue to get a little lucky, get our offense kind of going a little bit, we might be in the hunt.
Well, Coach, I guess one thing that stands out, and it stands out to a lot of people, and doesn't matter if you're playing Pop Warner, you guys are NFL. You cannot turn the football over.
No, there's absolutely no question about that. You know, we've turned the ball over 9 or 10 times in 2 games, and we won't beat a Pop Warner team doing that. So that's something that, you know, we've got to stop doing. We can't put the ball. We had 2 fumbles after rushing for first downs on UNO's defense, and you know, and it's uncharacteristic of Brendan Lease to be a ball dropper. He's not been one in high school or even with us here in practices. So, you know, the fact that we're actually short a coach on our staff, we don't actually have a running back coach this year right now. So, you know, we're doing it by committee, and I think that's starting to show up with their play. So we've got to try to fix that. And then we've got to quit throwing interceptions. I mean, you can coach a long time before you successfully pull off an onside kick and recover it, and then to turn right around and throw an interception on the next play, you know, it just kills you. So, yeah, no question, we got to quit turning the ball over.
Daryl Morris, head football coach at UNK, joining us as always on Monday on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, Jake Spitzelberger saw his first significant action. You really played both quarterbacks and Jake quite a bit in this football game. Where are you sitting now going into conference with these two guys?
Well, it probably looks like Jake might have, you know, overtook Bob there. Bob just did not perform very well on Saturday, and we're still trying to figure out what was wrong with him. You know, Jake came in. He is a fiery kid. He's an enthusiastic guy. He's a little bit of a spark plug. He's got to quit turning the ball over. He's the one that threw the interception right after we had the onside kick recovery. But, you know, he came in, threw some nice balls, made a couple of nice checks, threw a couple of slants to Kyle Kaiser, and, you know, hit him on a long one as well. So he gives you a dimension of running around back there and making something out of nothing. So I think we'll probably go with Jake, and then Bob will still get some snaps, I think, and we'll just kind of see how she goes.
Coach, I don't know who your offensive and defensive players were, but to have a freshman get into the end zone, show some durability running the football in Rustin Dring, had to be at least a little bit of a smile had to come on your face after seeing that.
Yeah, we felt like, and even after watching the film, we felt like Rustin ran the ball very well, ran hard, broke some tackles, made some nice cuts, made some people miss, showed some foot speed, ran an outside zone from the 10-yard line and went in untouched, and so, you know, we felt like he did a nice job, and we'll continue to expand his role as he's ready for it. I think it's one thing to come into the middle of a game and be, you know, a guy that's just kind of cleaning up some stuff, and it's another thing to actually start a game. So I think we'll continue to go with Brendan and then continue to expand Rustin's role as he, you know, gets comfortable with that expanded role. So, but there's still a good 1-2 punch. We just got to clean up a couple ball security problems that Brendan's having at the moment.
Coach, do you look to rush the ball more? I know on Rustin's 66-yard drive, he had 7 out of the 8 touches. Is that something you guys are focusing on, is running the football and becoming more of a running team?
Well, I don't know that that's, you know, what we want to take advantage of whatever the defense is allowing us to do. Now, right now, the strength of our offense is up front. In both games, even though we've lost them both, our offensive line has performed pretty well. We did back, we backed up UNO's nose guard, and we got up on their linebackers. We put both of them out of the ball game. I felt like we were striking them well and moving them around, and we protected the ball. The offensive line still, after two ball games, is not giving up a sack. So we want to continue to do that and just take advantage of whatever the defense allows us to do.
UNK football coach Daryl Morris joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Obviously, you look at a score and you see that UNO puts up 49 points. You go, wow, the defense didn't show. But that was one quarter and a lot of big plays. There was some positive. Charlie Redoon, again, had a nice game for you. What do you take out of what the defense is doing?
Well, again, you can go back and you're playing with humans the three touchdowns they got very quickly. The first one was a fluke. I mean, we tip a ball. Nate Reichs does exactly what he's supposed to do at defensive end, gets his hand up, tips a pass. We got two kids going for a pick. If we pick that thing off, we're going to the house with it, and they run into each other, knock it down. Somehow their guy comes up with it, and we don't run him down, he gets to the one. So, that one is just one of those, same thing with Sias Flewellen from Wayne. It's a fluke play. You're going to have those sometimes. The other two are just mistakes. We got too little aggressive at the safety spot, coming down on a run fake, letting the tight end run by us. And it's an aggressive thing, but the guy wasn't supposed to be in run support. So mental mistakes is what happened. And when you make mental mistakes against a good football team, they will make you pay for it. And UNO did make us pay for it.
Okay, so now we're done with the non-conference. We go into the conference, a whole new season. You go to Western State. Obviously, you're going to say, all right, guys, our goal now is try to win conference, which I believe it probably is at the beginning of every year. So you get ready for Western State. Tell us a little bit about them.
Well, Western State, they're a football team that's still trying to find their way a little bit. They haven't been very successful the last couple of years. I think they do think they're an improved football team. Their starting center used to be on our football team. They've got several coaches who used to coach for us. So they've got a lot of familiarity with our program, and we have some with theirs. So Gunnison's a tough place to play. Highest football stadium in North America at 7,700 feet. So we've got to get over that. We've got to be able to go there with a limited number of guys that you can take on a road trip and beat a football team that'll have everybody in their program on the sideline. So it can be a challenge.
See, Bob Crocker, it doesn't affect him. He's not quite as high as everybody else.
No, Bob's only at 7,500 feet.
Coach, obviously going out there and you tell your kids it's a new season, you look for this game, even a team maybe like Western that struggled a bit, this could be a huge confidence builder for you and your squad.
Well, no question. And I think we actually grew up a little bit in the third quarter and the fourth quarter of the UNO game. I know we got clobbered on the scoreboard, but we hung 21 points on them, and our kids, we successfully ran a fake punt off our own 20-yard line. We recovered an onside kick. We absolutely destroyed them in the kicking game, if you look at the stats. So there's a lot. We ran a kickoff back 60 yards on them. So there's a lot of things that we did very, very well that I think will show up down the road in the RMAC and help us win some ball games. So the fact that to have a young football team and still trying to beat those guys in the fourth quarter, that's not a bad trait to have in a young football team.
2 weeks in a row, the Lopers are on TV. It's going to be altitude this week. Coach, keep smiling, keep working with the kids, and best of luck Saturday.
Hey, thanks, guys. We'll see you.
Daryl Morris, head football coach at the University of Nebraska at Kearney.
Doug, we're excited on the Doug and Daddy Show, by the way. Just throw this in. Rich & Sons Camper Sales is a new proud sponsor south of Grand Island on 281. Their summer blowout on air conditioners and refrigerators continues. Ask them about the View Cube. If you want to go camping and you're afraid that TV isn't going to work, check out the View Cube at Rich & Sons Camper Sales, south of GI on 281.
Sponsors bringing you Daryl Morris and Paul Merkowitz every Monday here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And we'll talk to Paul Merkowitz, head coach at Hastings College. Get into the Huskers. Your emails, your thoughts. What do you think on the Huskers? Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Hastings College off to a 2-0 start. We'll talk about it after this.
You're listening to the Doug and Danny Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. When it comes to fish or cut bait, these guys are bait cutters. Oh, they've dipped a worm or two, but mostly bait cutters. Really.
It's the once a year, all out blowout at Kearney Yamaha. You'll save up to $4,000 that's been slashed off prices of select models of Yamaha 08 motorcycles in stock. Low financing is available. Whether you want to travel in style on the powerful 1900cc Stratoliner with locking side bags and a detachable windshield, or you want to choose from the 9 Classic Yamaha or custom V-Star models, Kearney Yamaha has the bike for you. But these incredible deals at Kearney Yamaha won't last long. It's the once a year, all out, blowout. Going on now at Kearney Yamaha. Years of experience and a huge selection. Kearney Yamaha, Nebraska's Power Sports Mall, just south of the Kearney I-80.
Personal watercraft, ATVs, just the motorcycle that'll suit your needs. Nebraska's Power Sports Mall, Kearney Yamaha. Nebraska's Power Sports Mall, Kearney Yamaha.
Ever seen a dented tortoise? The same way the thick tortoise shell protects its occupant, the Armacoating Spray-On Bed Liner from the Dent Popper protects your pickup bed. Armacoatings is the one that goes on hot, stays on strong, no rust, corrosion, dents, or scratches ever. Guaranteed for as long as you own your truck, and it says so in writing. That means your truck holds its value longer. Are you surprised the Dent Popper now applies Armacoatings? Don't be. The Dent Popper has been on the leading edge of vehicle preservation for years. See the Dent Popper, north of Railroad on First, on the bridge, downtown Kearney, for a free estimate.
Tonight, it's a special Week 1 NFL doubleheader when Green Bay hosts Minnesota and Denver visits Oakland. Hi, this is Marv Albert of Westwood One. Join us for all the exciting action that is Monday Night Football. Can the Packers repeat as division champs? Will Mike Shanahan continue his dominance against his former team? The opening week of Monday Night Football is right here.
Catch all the action tonight on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Tonight's Kearney High Junior Varsity football game against North Platte has been moved to Foster Field in Kearney. Kickoff will be at 6 p.m. Again, Kearney Junior Varsity football hosting North Platte moved to Foster Field tonight at 6.
We'll see lingering rain shower activity along with a few thunder showers across the area today, followed by some partial clearing later today in the afternoon. We'll see those temperatures rebound about 56 for the high with winds out of the north staying gusty early, then about 5 to 15 throughout the day. Tonight, lows reach 39. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now, 50.
I'm driving Doug and Danny. Just got my license back. Oh, by the way, got to see some more of my friends at Ravenna yesterday. A little bit better for this cat. A little better. Just an update for all those guys. Oh, boy. And I wrote this down. There was a hole in one yesterday at the tournament, number 3. Oh, man. I wrote it down and I totally forgot. So there's a great story. Good job. Sorry. But there was a hole in one yesterday.
Well, a great story is if you want to get out and you're going to Husker Harvest Days this Wednesday.
Gee, it must be raining.
We're going to be there. We're going to be there lot 1131. You know what? We're going to be in the Dyna Grove.
Is that next to lot 1130?
I would imagine. 1130 might be straight across, but we're nonetheless.
At 1131, the show will be going on. It's a special extended Doug and Daddy show on Wednesday.
By the way, Hal Mummy, New Mexico State Aggie head coach, expected to join us.
Sweet.
So looking forward to that. But people, you're thinking about next year already, and Dyna Grill wants you to know you can get a 12% cash discount all the way through January 15th. That's a 12% cash discount until after the Huskers bowl game, people. Take a look at Dyna Grove's new VT triple hybrids, 57V07, 57V15, 57V94. Those are three hybrids that can run on your farm. Believe us, people. The Dyna Grove people are excited. More acres were planted at Dyna Grove this year than ever before. There's a reason. Get to Husker Harvest Days and check out lot 1131 or call 1-800-652-9298 and talk to your local Dyna Grove dealer today.
It is time to bring in the head football coach at Hastings College, Paul Merkowitz. They're off to a 2-0 start after a 17-7 win over Doan. And, of course, every time we talk with the coaches, we'd like to mention that Rich and Sons Camper Sales bring you our interviews here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And rumor has it, Daddy, that with an undefeated Hastings College football season, a free camper to the coaching staff at Hastings College.
Really?
Paul Merkowitz joins us. What do you think about that, Coach?
That'd be outstanding. I could take that down to come and drive down to Tampa to see the Bears play in the Super Bowl after their win last night.
Ah,
I feel very good
baby.
About that, and so That would be great.
Now let's not get crazy. I did pick the Bears to win the North, but obviously Dallas will beat them in the championship. And we'll still work out the deal on that free camper. But hey, Coach, not a lot of points in this football game, but you did a lot of good things. Took advantage of some turnovers, ran the ball very well, and it looks like you kind of controlled this game with Doan.
Yeah, we felt like, I don't think we ever felt like we were really in trouble. We would have liked to have been a little bit more productive offensively. We are really, we're really, really close to getting some big plays, from our wide receivers. And we threw a couple of vertical balls. We were just missing. We watched on film with the kids yesterday, and we can't really change a lot, with some of that stuff. So we were pretty pleased with what we were able to do.
Talk a little bit about running the football, Coach. 200 yards rushing, something. I think the last couple of years that's been one thing really lacking, and obviously getting it done up front, controlling the line of scrimmage, that's huge.
Yeah, we did. We played better. We definitely played better than we did against Peru up front, and I think we still got some work to do, but we were pretty productive running the ball, and I think it helped us, obviously be able to throw the ball a little bit better as well. But, if we can run it around that area, I think, we have at least a better chance to be successful.
Coach, we talk about the offensive line and defensive line. We kind of talk about them as a whole. Who do you feel up there? Single out a couple guys that are really playing good football for you early in the season.
Well, I'll tell you, our starting defensive line, our starting three guys, Pete Bakken and Jake Mueller and Cody Swanson, those three D linemen for us have been dynamite. They really enabled us on Saturday. We didn't bring a lot of pressure. And they were able to put pressure on the quarterback, just those three guys, and did a pretty good job of also containing the run. They've been dynamite both of our games.
Talking with the head football coach at Hastings College, Paul Merkowitz, as they are off to a 2-0 start. Let's face it, you're 2-0, and this has to be one of the better feelings to the start of the season in a while for the coaching staff and these kids.
Yeah, you feel pretty good. Obviously, you go into 2 days, and you try to put a plan together, and when things work the way that you want them to, and you're playing pretty well, I think our confidence level is pretty high. I think we all know we've got some things to work on, and hopefully this week we'll be a little bit better on the practice field. I don't know if we've practiced as well as we'd like to, but we're pretty happy with the direction we're going. Obviously, being 2-0 is winning games is the idea, but we still need to get better. I just put down the game report. We had a ton of penalties again, guys, and it's just something that we've got to take care of. We're creating way too much adversity for ourselves. The game is tough enough, and we don't need as many of the penalties, so we got to really try and clean those things up.
Coach, I guess that'd be a mental side of the game. Is there some physical side of the game that you'd like to really see cleaned up as you guys face Briar Cliff?
Just continuing to get better. I don't think there's anything that really stands out. I think physically we've played pretty well. Like I said, we're a player or away from breaking some games open, which we've got to be able to get those things done, I think. But I think we've stayed reasonably healthy outside of the usual bumps and bruises after two games. And it's just a matter of, like I said, continuing to get better each week and going from there.
Paul Merkowitz joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. I've already heard fans, and this probably comes more from a Husker venue, but all coaches say we need to get better.
Mm-hmm.
When you're not getting better at the pace you want, What do you do do you adjust the plays you call? When you're talking about getting better, what are you looking for as a coach?
Well, I think if you're making the same mistake each week, you stay the same. And I think as long as you stay the same, your situation can't change, I guess. And so I think each guy looks at the things that he did wrong in the game, and because everybody makes, it's a game of mistakes. And if you can clear up those mistakes, that helps your team get better, obviously. And those are just the little things. Like I said, the penalties are something that I'm concerned with and that definitely need to get better. But just as you start to add things offensively and defensively, because it's a progression throughout the entire season, hopefully your timing gets better and those types of things.
Coach, obviously Briar Cliff comes up for you this Saturday. What concerns you about them?
They're a physical team. They're very similar to Doan in the way that they line up scheme-wise. They've got a big physical back that we're concerned with, and they bring a lot of pressure on defense. And so, it's just a matter of being sound, and we're going to add a few wrinkles that we think will be able to help us a little bit. And we've only seen the two games that they have. Brand new coaching staff, so you always kind of worry about that variable as well. So we just try to get as prepared as we can.
Well, your defense is doing the job they need to do while your offense is coming along, and sounds like things are at least pointed in the right direction. Coach, best of luck this Saturday, and we'll catch up with you again next week.
Thanks, guys.
Paul Merkowitz, head football coach at Hastings College. Mark and Morris on Monday, brought to you by Rich & Son Camper Sales, south of Grand Island on Highway 281. They've been doing it for years, folks. If they hadn't been doing it right, they wouldn't still be there. Stop by and see Rich & Sons today.
Summer blowout on air conditioners. You know yours went out a month ago, and you said, that's going to be fall. But get it fixed now. They got a sale on them, Rich & Sons Camper Sales.
Hey, we're going to take a break here on the Doug & Daddy Show. When we come back, Nebraska has a Big 12 Player of the Week. Huh. We'll tell you who it is after this.
I'm sorry, we have to stop, man. No disrespect.
Time to take a commercial break.
Stop talking.
Even in a depression, the entertainment industry thrives.
How are those broads coming?
A few more minutes.
Smells great.
I know.
Sorry.
How many do you want?
Four.
Okay, he wants four. Now, Dave, you?
Four.
Okay, four.
Well, you want sauerkraut with that, buddy?
Grilling goes perfectly with golf, as long as you're watching it at home. So this weekend, invite some friends over, get some Kingsford charcoal, and grill it up.
Who needs tickets to the game when you've got a grill, good friends, and a backyard? Tailgate at home with your favorite food and Kingsford Max Light Charcoal. It's the instant light charcoal that has the perfect amount of lighter fluid built right in. It lights fast and burns long to make sure your food is grilled to perfection every time. So grab your friends and family and fire up the grill for a winning tailgating event. Get fired up for the chance to win the ultimate tailgate experience. Use seven friends in the New Year's Day bowl game in Orlando. Go to ESPN.com, keyword search, tailgate.
There are too many reasons that you want your RV vacation to go right than to have one little thing make it go wrong. Rich & Sons RV headquarters on South 281 Grand Island give you the peace of mind that matches the freedom and economy of your RV vacation. Trained and manufacturer certified, the Rich & Sons staff know every RV inside and out. In fact, right now, for less than $170, you can get a full 20-point inspection. Mobile ready-to-go service also available. Log on now to richsonsrv.com.
Tonight's Kearney High Junior Varsity football game against North Platte has been moved to Foster Field in Kearney. Kickoff will be at 6 p.m. Again, Kearney Junior Varsity football hosting North Platte moved to Foster Field tonight at 6.
We'll see lingering rain shower activity along with a few thunder showers across the area today, followed by some partial clearing later today in the afternoon. We'll see those temperatures rebound about 56 for the high with winds out of the north, staying gusty early, then about 5 to 15 throughout the day. Tonight, lows reach 39. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now, 50.
Performing Lip Syncing the Thieves. Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Already have chatted with Daryl Morse at UNK and Hastings College, Paul Merkowitz. If you miss any of our interviews or any part of the show, people say, oh, I can't catch you all the time. I'm doing this. I'm driving. I'm not in the combine. I'm not in the truck. I'm not, you know, in the office. Hey, you can catch us anytime, 24-7, any show that we put on the Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal, The Loft, and Courtyard. Just simply go to ESPNSuperstation.com, ESPNSuperstation.com. Click on the Cunningham's podcast, and we're there for you. Also, you can vote on our web question this week. The Doug and Daddy poll question is, which team that pulled the upset this week is going to make the playoffs? I picked three: Atlanta over Detroit, Carolina over San Diego, Chicago over Indianapolis. Which one of those three most likely to make the playoffs coming off a week one upset? That's on ESPNSuperstation.com. Daddy, who do you choose?
You know what? I think it's an obvious choice between Chicago and Carolina, because they both did it on the road in very, very tough environments. Both have, you know, obviously come down to the end of the game like Carolina did and zing a pass in there, and somebody goes up and makes really an incredible play kind of in the middle of three defenders. Obviously, those wins are going to do nothing, and we talk about boosting confidence, but even at the pro level, that's so important. But Chicago on a Sunday night, the opening of Lucas Oil Stadium, I think that's an amazing story, too. The flip a coin on those two. I would say that both of them have decent winnable divisions, because there's nobody that stands out. There's nobody that stood out like a Dallas did yesterday, you know, like a Pittsburgh did, you know, in those divisions. So I think those are both good wins for those teams. Let's flip a coin with them.
1-888-455-ESPN. 1-888-455-ESPN, or you can email us, douganddaddy@espnsuperstation.com. You know, I couldn't find who I wanted as the other wild card in the NFC, and I think I marked Tampa Bay, said I could take Carolina, I could take Philly. Wow, did Philly look good yesterday. Disappointments and thumbs up and thumbs down week one. And again, remember, the Patriots lost to the Bills a few years ago, 34-41, nothing on opening day, and went on to win the Super Bowl. But Cincinnati, are you kidding me? Horrid. Absolutely horrid. Houston, evidently they were reading the clippings, but how good is this NFC South going to be? Tampa Bay losing to the Saints is not a horrible loss. It's a division loss. Tampa Bay is going to be good. Carolina looks like they're going to be good. And I'll bring in Derek here in just a moment because he wants to talk about the AFC. We're talking about the NFC right now. But I don't know if I said it on air, but I remember him laughing very hard at me, and I said, don't be surprised when Atlanta and Chicago both make the playoffs. And I know we are 16 weeks away from all of this happening. But I don't think Atlanta's going to make the playoffs. But I'm just saying, you've got that whole worst to first in that division for five straight years, and they're not as bad as people think, and this parity that everybody talks about in the NFL. But, wow, thumbs down to San Diego for thinking that they were just going to walk in and win. They showed they could put the points on the board by waking up in the fourth quarter, and then shame on them for letting Carolina prevent defense them to death. St. Louis, Seattle, very disappointing yesterday, as was Cincinnati. And now, if Vince Young is out, everybody's saying, hey, let's look at Kerry Collins as the quarterback of Tennessee and how far they can go.
Defense for Tennessee, by the way, 7 sacks, 2 fumble recoveries, and 1 pick. Great job by the defense, and I think Vandenbosch, Haynesworth, some of those guys doing a fine, fine job getting pressure on the quarterback. Obviously, though, Doug, the thing that stood out to me this morning, you know, when you're trying to come up with a broad subject, you got the big three kind of in the AFC. New England, San Diego, and Indianapolis.
Not a good weekend.
As you look at it, and you talk about the equity, and you talk about the balance shifting, has that balance of power shifted to the NFC? And you see what, you know, obviously you come back and say, well, no, because Buffalo pretty much destroyed Seattle team. Well, I said Hasselbeck sucks since last year when I got a Monday night against the 49ers.
I don't think he's a good quarterback.
I don't think he has good receivers. I don't think, you know, to go
this
on the road.
This just in from 2007, Hasselbeck sucks and Baltimore's going to win the Super Bowl.
I know that's where I would get bashed, but you look at Dallas, you look at Philly, you look at the New York Giants, obviously you look at that division as being the monster. Dallas favored by 7 points. Is that the early line I saw last night as it came across the screen?
Oh, you mean for this upcoming week? I've got that for you. Yes, open at 7, staying at 7. Dallas at home against Philadelphia.
A little bit of a surprise there.
Philly can't be that good. I mean, the Rams are horrid. Look at that division. Nobody in that division proved anything yesterday. I mean, Arizona won 23-13. That's because San Francisco turned it over 5 times. And you only win by 10? Late field goal to win by 10?
Bad, bad football.
Bad division. That's
bad division,
Seattle,
exactly.
That's why Seattle still has a chance to win that hands down.
Well, that's great. We'll finally get a playoff win, maybe.
Now let's go to the AFC, where, as you said, things have changed. And, Derek, you are unhappy with, well, everyone.
Yeah, well, and you look at the AFC East, and obviously the big story over the weekend,
Tom Brady.
Hold on.
I should have said this before you go into your rant, so I don't want to get halfway into your rant. Derek, huge Buffalo Bill fan. Okay, go.
Obviously, maybe a little bit of bias there, but I don't really think so. You look at Tom Brady being the big story over the weekend. The implications in the AFC and the AFC East. The first conclusion everybody wants to draw from this: oh my God, the New York Jets and Brett Favre. Brett Favre and the New York Jets going to win the AFC East. No one's talking about Buffalo creaming the Seahawks today. Nobody. And they did it on all sides of the ball. They did offense, defense, special teams. They have great kick returners, going to get good field position all year. That defense hustles. They're young. They're going to learn as the season goes on. Trent Edwards looked good, threw a touchdown pass. Lee Evans caught some long balls. They looked great. Marshawn Lynch, come on. Where's the love for Buffalo?
And you're saying, you look at Brett Favre, they beat Miami by 6 points in Miami.
Whoop-de-doo!
And one of the passes he threw up, the playground bet far off, you know, getting tackled, throw it up, and somebody's there to catch it.
Yeah, and you, what were you saying a bit ago? We were talking off the break. Brett Favre was saying something about, I was just going back into the huddle and saying, all right, same play, guys, because he doesn't even know half the playbook yet. Are you kidding me? A six-point win over Miami, and everyone wants to crown the Jets as the new AFC East champs. You got to be kidding me.
I go to last week's Doug and Daddy poll question. Who has the best chance to win the Super Bowl? Over 52% said the Patriots. I about put the same poll question up again this week. 52% for the Patriots. We had next San Diego, 16%. Then the Colts and Giants, Dallas and other, bringing up the rear to win the Super Bowl. Boy. Out of week one, there's no doubt Dallas is the best of those five choices. They're, without a doubt, Dallas. New England, Dallas, San Diego, Indy, Giants. Dallas looked the best.
Dallas, 487 total yards. 487. Cleveland, 205. Now, Dallas's defense is supposed to be much improved, but to hold Cleveland, who obviously did a lot of quality, great things a year ago, 205 yards of total offense. You look at the time of possession in that game, 37.5 minutes to 22.5 minutes. Monster advantage. Dallas dominated from start to finish.
You mentioned the Dallas spread. Did you hear this morning the New England and Jets, they played again on week two like they have ever since Mangini went over there? Weird. You have not heard the spread?
No.
You want to guess it? It's New England Patriots at the New York Football Jets.
Well, the Jets probably favored by 3.5.
Opened at 3, down to 2.5. Are you kidding me?
People are betting.
Are you
England?
Kidding me? Okay, Matt Castle, we okay with him? He starts Sunday. It doesn't matter who they put in. He's starting Sunday. We okay with him?
Yeah.
What if you got Tom Brady in your fantasy league? What do you do now? Do you go get Matt Castle? Do you hold on and say, well, maybe Culpepper comes in? Maybe Chris Sims comes in? Do you go get a quarterback that wasn't drafted in your league, like Kyle Orton? Do you go get Kerry Collins, who's going to be the starter now at Tennessee for a while? What do you do? Who do you go out there and get? Obviously, if he wasn't drafted in your league, he's a Kyle Orton. He's somebody that's not on a very good football team. A great quarterback that a lot of people didn't think. And I think the Bears are fine, and Orton was drafted in some leagues.
But you're trying to use a stick of chewing gum to fill a hole in a dam.
Well, Tom Brady probably went in the first round, or if you have him, he was the first pick. He was your first pick in your draft this year. And now he's gone. And who knows? I mean, you're thinking, well, I'm going to play Tom Brady all year, and the backup quarterback I have is going to be the guy I play during his bye week. And now you have to either play that guy, and maybe you got a real good one. Hopefully you got maybe a Jake DeLome.
Yeah, maybe you got a Matt Schaub. Maybe you got a JT freaking O'Sullivan.
O'Sullivan's probably out there in a lot of leagues. You know, he wasn't stellar yesterday. What do you do?
Wasn't stellar.
You can send us your emails, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. Had a conversation yesterday while playing at that golf tournament in Ravenna, wondering what they thought, asking, hey, what do you think the USC-Ohio State spread is going to be? I said, USC is going to be favored huge.
Oh, no.
And a lot of other words I can't say on the air. The opening early line at the beginning of the year, 4.5. Today it's 10. 10. 10, 10.5. It was 7.5 and then went to 10.5.
Well, if you're Pete Carroll, you got to be thinking, you got to rein your players in and say, hey, guys, they're going to come in here ready to play.
Virginia's horrible. Ohio, yay. Good job, Frank Solich.
Good job, Noah Keller, too.
Yeah, and how about, I just wish I would have made it the lock of the year. I said I can't make it the lock of the year because there's a little heart involved in this. But, hey, how were your picks this weekend?
They were 500. And I'm giving myself benefit of the doubt.
Well, why wouldn't you?
Well, because I shop around and I get.
No.
Yes, I do.
No.
When
no.
You've got the same paper out. That's the spread I get because that's the way I do things.
God. All right.
Don't.
So to keep you from losing your handicapping certificate, what happened?
Well, it's a Florida-Miami deal.
There's some people unhappy about that. How many different publications did you have to look at to find out that they covered?
Well, no, I just go across the Vegas Insider to the sports books, yeah. And there were several at 23, 23 and a half. It was one of those deals.
But a lot of people didn't have that.
A lot of people upset.
Florida trots out their field goal unit when all they had to do is lay on the ball with about 30 seconds left and win it 26-3, so they win by 23 instead of by 20, making Miami, for some folks, a winner.
Yeah, and Urban Meyer catching a little flack for that, thinking maybe the boosters were involved betting on his squad. And I think Miami and Randy Shannon, I think they've got a chance down the road. They got a lot of young players that are fast. And I like coaches that go out and say, you know what, I'm going to recruit winners. You come from a 2-10 program, you can be a pretty darn good football player. No thanks. No thanks.
All right, let's go to your picks. West Virginia at East Carolina. You like West Virginia. How'd that work out?
Not very well.
Cincinnati at Oklahoma. You took Cincinnati. How'd that work out?
You know what? Actually, Cincinnati was in that game for a long time. Oklahoma just kind of blew the doors open late.
They kept trying to score. Yeah, right.
Stoops is a jerk.
Miami, you're putting that as a win. As you see, he crossed out 23 and wrote 24.
That was done last week. That's a totally different pen than anything sitting here.
San Diego State.
Winner, winner.
Over Notre Dame. You win that. And on the pros, 1-1, you had the Jets. They covered. And thanks, Chad Payne. And San Francisco, not so much.
Well, San Francisco had every opportunity, had the right team in that game, really did.
Let's go back to the Dent Popper inbox. This comes from Trent, who says, hey, fellas, any update on the status of Tom Brady's knee? Your friend, every fantasy nerd in the country.
Looks like it's going to be a while, though.
We'll save personal attacks off the air. Also, let's go back here. Woe is me. Irish looked terrible. Huskers got worse in game two, and those damn Cowboys won. T.O. is such a slug. When you are really good like Randy Moss, you don't need to celebrate a touchdown.
You know what? Celebrate America like T.O. did and get in the blocks. That's all he was doing, is being the true American that he is. All he was doing, simple as that, just wanted to support the Americans and coming home from Beijing. And good job, T.O. Congratulations.
Wow. Let's go back. Jim, delusional Husker fan, strikes Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Dent Popper inbox. Home of the Armor Lining. See Scott or Joel on the Bricks downtown Kearney for a free estimate today. Delusional Husker fan says, I admit I had high hopes for this year's team, and I have seen some improvement on the defensive side of the ball. They had a bend-but-don't-break type game against San Jose State, when last year they would have given up at least two more touchdowns and probably lost. However, I am troubled by the fact that the offense hasn't been able to move the ball on the ground at all this year. We have to have a much better running game to help burn the clock, wear down the opponent, and keep the high-powered offenses from Missouri, Texas Tech, and Oklahoma off the field. I felt like we had a realistic chance of beating Missouri if they made some mistakes and we played out of our... That's not going to happen this year. I'm even wondering if we can beat Kansas, a team that looks very beatable. I thought 9 wins was possible, but not this year. I haven't given up all hope. 7 or maybe 8 is possible if we get a running game going. Now I pose a question to you boys. Can we beat Virginia Tech without a running game? Delusional Husker fan, Daddy.
Yeah, I think we can beat Virginia Tech because, really, they're a team in disarray. And, you know, unless they beat Furman 24-7. This is not a good football team. Coming in to Memorial Stadium, I think it's going to be very difficult for Virginia Tech to beat Nebraska. I think Nebraska, I think the spread is switched, and Nebraska will be favored in that football game. Now, you look at this week.
Huskers favored by 28 this week.
This is, you know what? This is the first game out for New Mexico State. This is a team last year, 51-17. They lost to San Jose State. You know, this is they gave up 36.2 points a game. They had only 14 takeaways last year. This is a bad football team coming in here, their first game of the year. I don't see how Nebraska could be motivated to play this game at all. Although it's 6 o'clock, I think when you get under the lights, the juices start flowing a little bit more. I just don't think that. There's what motivation do you have to go out and slap around some kids that you're better than? I mean,
the Aggie offense returns 8 starters from last year. One of the nation's most prolific passers in quarterback Chase Holbrook, who owns 3 500-plus-yard passing games in his career. He's passed for more than 3,800 yards each of the past 2 years, and with 3,000 yards this season would tie the NCAA record with three 3,000-plus passing yard seasons. Now, there are some ties between these programs, obviously. Barney Cotton, Marvin Sanders, Jeff Jamrog all served as assistant coaches when Tony Samuel was the head coach there. So they're not going to rub it in New Mexico's face, I wouldn't think.
No, and maybe this team can score some points, but I haven't heard, and then we'll get into some Husker talk. I know we need to take a break, but Joe Gans wasn't Joe Gans. Was he Saturday?
No.
He
was on College Game Day last week. The stardom overtook him.
I haven't heard Joe Gans taking any heat at all up to this point. And I don't know how much heat you need to give Joe Gans for one lackluster performance. But let's just be honest, he'd been damn good until Saturday.
Easily his worst
of
five starts. Five. I mean, again, we got to remember that, five starts. Niles Paul named the Big 12 Special Teams Player of the Week. Changed the momentum of the game early in the fourth quarter with his 85-yard kickoff return for a touchdown, giving Nebraska a 21-12 advantage. He returned two kickoffs for 111 yards, two punt returns for 21 yards, and caught a career-best two passes for 27 yards. The sophomore is averaging 40 yards per kickoff return to rank third in the Big 12. Third. And fifth nationally, sixth in the league in punt returns, and in the top 30 in the NCAA rankings.
Temp Bob Rimbox here. Lumpy and Bertrand wants to know, when is Helu going to be listed alone atop the depth chart ahead of Lucky?
Right now, it doesn't matter. None of them are getting anything done.
Roy Helu, by the way, 9 attempts. Marlon Lucky, 7 attempts. So they're divided pretty equally. And
Barry Turner, most likely out for the season, according to Coach Pelini, who is going to be going through his Big 12 press conference coming up in just a little bit. So maybe some updated news this afternoon on that. Coach said yesterday he has a broken bone in his left leg and probably is out for the season. He could redshirt, looking to apply maybe for a medical redshirt if he wants to come back in 2009. Pierre Allen replaced Turner and finished with a team-high 10 tackles and a pass breakup.
Nice game for Pierre Allen. Step in and do that. They were looking for some depth behind Barry Turner. Now they're looking for some depth behind Pierre Allen, no doubt about it. And I don't know who that next one in the chain of command will be. We'll have to see when the depth chart is released tomorrow.
Mike wants to know at the Dent Popper inbox if we're going to discuss the Florida-Miami outcome. We did do that. Your thoughts?
Well, it's obvious that he knew what the point spread was. Why would you take an in-state school and rubber? I'm telling you right now, Miami will not forget that. And you give them 2 years, you've got some kids on some winning teams. They got 8 kids off the team that ended up number one in the nation a year ago.
One other thing I want to touch on, and everybody else has touched on it all weekend, was the Washington BYU final and the flag for unsportsmanlike conduct celebration penalty that pushed them back 35 yards. And the extra point block, BYU wins at 28-27 in a game that was heard right here on ESPN Radio. Two things. A, you should still be able to make that 35-yarder. B, everybody just assumed, I guess, that once that, if they'd have made the extra point, they win. No, they go to overtime. And yes, they have the opportunity to win. I understand. Okay, those are two things I haven't even heard brought up. BYU could have still won that football game. All right? Now, the flag should not have been thrown. That's the bottom line to this whole issue. They're college kids having fun, and if somebody wants to do that on the high school level, don't be flagging them either. You're supposed to be having fun. There's a line between having fun, taunting, and showing off and showboating. There was none of that on that play on Saturday.
Amen. Amen. That's all. I mean, you're exactly right. No need to go. I mean, to do that and to deprive somebody from having the opportunity, though, and you're right. In a Division I kicker, you back him up 15 yards, knock the thing through.
I mean, it was low. I mean, it's not like you were trying to hit a 55-yard field goal. It's a 35-yarder. You kick that. When you kick the extra point, they're always good from 35.
I've said this. I hate kickers.
Hey, if we were having an email contest and the winner got 5 punches, this would be the winner. Fast Willie, number one Steeler fan, chimes in. There is so much cowboy love on this show that you should change the show's name to Brokeback Radio. I think the Steelers look great, and I wonder if the Patriots and Belichick have ever heard of karma.
Woohoo!
Oh. Hello. Back after this, Doug and Daddy Show.
What are you listening to?
The Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
I can't put up with you people because you're bastard people.
These guys really suck.
Awful. So bad.
Anyway, our heroes will be right back.
It's Colin Coward, host of The Herd, driving to the post office again. What a waste of time. What a waste of gas. How about Stamps.com? With Stamps.com, you'll never have to go to the post office again. You can print all your postage using your own computer and your own printer. Sign up now, right now, and within minutes, you're printing postage at your desk. Seriously, it's that easy. I'm telling you, Stamps.com is a no-brainer, especially for you small business people. I want you to sign up for Stamps.com today. Right now, I've got a special offer for my listeners, a no-risk trial, plus a $100 bonus offer, including a $45 worth of free postage. That's more free postage if you use my name, Colin. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, go to the radio microphone, top of the homepage, type in Colin. Don't wait. Stamps.com today. And be sure to use my name, Colin.
Hey, all you farmers out there, are you listening? I know a lot of you are still irrigating, but before you know it, it'll be time to hit the fields for harvest. And the last thing you want to worry about is your ATV breaking down. So get into Kearney Yamaha now. Let their service department guys make sure your ATV is working as hard as you'll be this fall. And be sure to check out the lineup of new 2009 Yamaha ATVs. There's no need to wait until after harvest with Kearney Yamaha's Buy Now, Pay Later program. Going on right now on all new Yamaha ATVs. So what are you waiting for? Get into Kearney Yamaha today before harvest. Kearney Yamaha, years of experience and huge selection, just south of the Kearney I-80.
Personal watercraft, ATVs, just the motorcycle that'll suit your needs. Nebraska's power sports ball, Kearney Yamaha. Nebraska's power sports ball, Kearney Yamaha.
Up next, a fresh forecast from the guys at WeatherEye, brought to you by Molly's Motorworks on East 25th in Kearney, where you always get a square deal and a fair shake. If you were out for a Sunday drive with the family 20 years ago in Kearney, there'd be a lot of places that you wouldn't even recognize. Well, excepting for that one place over on East 25th, Molly's Motorworks. Molly's been right there doing what she does best since 1987. A lot has changed since then, so it's a good thing to know that when you're in the market for a quality used car or truck, you can still get a square deal and a fair shake from Molly. Good to know.
We'll see lingering rain shower activity, along with a few thunder showers across the area today, followed by some partial clearing later today in the afternoon. We'll see those temperatures rebound about 56 for the high, with winds out of the north staying gusty early, then about 5 to 15 throughout the day. Tonight, lows reach 39. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now, 50.
Doug and Daddy Show. Want to welcome a new sponsor to the Doug and Daddy Show, Molly's Motorworks. Bloody good, lovey. Glad to have you along with us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Derek, did you watch the VMAs last night?
I did not.
Brittany's still hot. I don't care. Keep putting your cigarette ashes out on your kid's head, you idiot. But, you know, you're still hot.
I'm going to have to go with Sarah Palin again.
I was just going to ask you, Britney Spears, Sarah Palin.
I'm going with Sarah Palin.
Just the whole intelligence thing, that pushes her over the top.
Well, I wasn't considering intelligence in anything.
Oh, God. You watched Varsity Blues over the weekend, didn't you?
No, I did not watch. I did not watch Varsity Blues. But I know that I want to spend less time this fall outdoors in the yard trimming, mowing, and repairing my edging. You know, the edging you chewed up with a lawnmower this summer? Well, at Curbit, they want you to know their continuous edging lays low to the ground, making it easy to get close with the mower. It's durable, people. Full year, 1 year, everything warranty when it comes to insulation or material defects. Makes the yard look better than your neighbor's until he catches on. Then he'll have it, too. Proves the value of your home with Curbit Appeal. Call Curbit, let them help you plan it, then install it so you don't have to spend so much time doing it outdoors when you have much more time to be in front of that TV where we all belong this football season. Check them out on the net at Curbit.net.
Talk Husker football tomorrow. Bo Pelini press conference live. We'll be bringing you everything that the coach says at noon, actually, here on the Doug and Daddy Show. So we'll have our regular show. We will talk there. We hope to have one of our Husker insiders on the program tomorrow, depending on when the coaches elect to speak. We'll try and get that worked out for you as well. Also going to talk a little Tri-City Storm hockey. Kyle Means will be in studio tomorrow to talk about the upcoming Storm season. They've got a new assistant coach. Got a chance to meet him over the weekend. It looks like we got another good guy with the Storm organization there, and we'll talk about some new things coming up with the Storm. But how about the Johnny Casino's Pigskin Pick'em over the weekend? How'd we do, Derek?
Well, it looks like Doug topped everybody at 7-3, but the caller who was Sam from Kearney also went 7-3. It went down to the tiebreaker. Doug, you had 56 total points for Nebraska San Jose State. Sam had 65. With a 35-12 final, that would put you about 11 points out, Doug, from that prediction there. So pretty good. Daddy went 5-5. I went 6-4.
Wow, that's
about, and in the words of Daddy, beat it, nerd.
Yeah,
we'll do that every Friday throughout the college football season here. Don't want to get through without talking a little volleyball. Great weekend for everybody. Hastings College did suffer their first loss. They went 3-1 at College St. Mary, but they lost to Concordia of California, the number 3 team in the country. So they're 12-1. Lopers are now 7-1. They beat the third-ranked Truman State squad on Wednesday night. Looked very good all weekend, so congratulations there. They have UNO on the road Wednesday night, and then start conference play this weekend. Huskers, as expected, winning all three games out at Cal Poly. They're home for the Emeritus Challenge Friday and Saturday. 24th-ranked LSU at the Devaney Center Friday night.
I like San Luis Obispo inviting Nebraska out and getting the biggest crowd of the, like in 19 years, like 2,900 people, and then Nebraska beats them like 18-20 and 18 or something.
Thanks for coming! Let's see, was there anything else? Hastings College men's soccer team upset number 2 Concordia, California, by the way, who's making a lot of trips out here, beat them over the weekend. And the new high school football rankings out from the Omaha World Herald. Less area teams than there was a week ago, Tony.
Yeah, you're exactly right on that. Some great football going on. You know what, if I'm going to tip my hat to one team in the area, I'm going to tip it to the men and whip it. Sam Dunn, congratulations. You know what? Hemingway, 2 touchdowns shy of St. Cecilia, but to step up and show that you can compete at that level, congratulations. That's something really to build on.
A lot more great high school football action coming up this week, and we'll talk more about it as the week progresses. You know, just so much to get through on the show today. I hope we touched on everything that we wanted to do today, and if there's anything we didn't or anything you want us to touch on throughout the week, fire us an email to the Dent Popper inbox, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. It's lunchtime, Daddy. Off to the chicken coop where you can watch SportsCenter, the NFL Network, or anything live. You got the U.S. Open men's final this afternoon. Check that out at the chicken coop. They've got great lunch specials every single day, great food and drink specials every night. And tonight, Monday Night Football, $2 you call it. Almost all drinks, $2. Enjoy some wings. Enjoy whatever you want off that great menu. And you can catch all the Husker games at the Coop. But don't forget, Monday Night Football, $2 call it tonight.
And two games tonight. A little double your pleasure action in the NFL.
Who you got?
You know what? I'm going to take Green Bay. Everybody's high on Minnesota. I'm going to take Green Bay.
I'm taking Minnesota and Oakland.
I'm going exactly the opposite. We're going to square off tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show, 1460, 1550.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.